Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WBAA News. I'm your host, Charlotte Tuggle. This week, Lafayette Mayor Tony Rozworski is our guest here in the studio. Mayor Rozworski, thanks for being with us today.
Hey, Charlotte, how are you today?
If you have a question, you can call it in at 765-496-1999. You can also send us an email to ask@wbaa.org or tweet a question at WBAA News on Twitter. I wanted to start this afternoon with something that I find pretty cool. I'm sure a lot of parents are wondering, with the kids out of school now, how do we get them to be productive but make sure that they're having fun still? The city had kind of a unique approach to that. Why don't you tell us about the Work Creation program?
Yeah, that program's been around for quite a while, and that gives the youth in our community an opportunity to give back to the community and to also earn the opportunity for Work Creation Bucks, which allows them to participate in some different activities at the park. And so, you know, we think that's a good way to, one, get kids just out and get them active, right? Get them the opportunity to earn something, to feel that sense of giving back, but also earning something that they can use then to have a good time or participate in an activity that they want to. And then also, you know, we kind of hope that leads into that progression of maybe they think about coming to work for the park someday. You know, over the summer, we literally hire hundreds of young people to work at the zoo, Tropicana Cove, Castaway Bay, Vinton Pool, landscape, do flowers, trash, all of those things. And so it's also an opportunity for them to think, I see a little bit about what's going on at our parks, what job opportunities there might be. It's really a good summer job. We hire about 90 lifeguards a year. Good summer job for kids, good opportunity. So we hope that solves, really works on a lot of things, getting kids out and active, showing them how to work. They work with other kids, earning something that they can use to have fun themselves, but also see what's going on at the Lafayette Parks and Recreation, and maybe there'll be a full-time opportunity to actually work and make money in the future. We're always looking for good young people to take those jobs, and we work really hard with our training programs so it's not just a job, that the summer becomes a learning environment, and they really learn those job skills, learn how to work with people, learn how to show up on time, those soft skills that we hear about in the economy now that we want our workforce to have. So we teach all of those things, and we think that can be a really important life lesson.
All right. I'm glad that we have you this week, because this Saturday is Taste of Tippecanoe. That's always a big event for Greater Lafayette and everyone who lives here. Can you briefly explain the significance of this event to the city specifically?
Well, you know, the Taste of Tippecanoe is, as you said, a large event that's hosted by the Tippecanoe Arts Federation, and those proceeds go to the Tippecanoe Arts Federation. But as far as what it means to the community, you know, we're always looking for ways to get people downtown, to get people to have that sense of community, try different restaurants that they might not tried before, listen to some good music, maybe meet new people, and just showcase what the community has to offer. And that's a, you know, important thing for us on a lot of different levels. And so, we encourage people to come down. Hopefully the weather will cooperate. There'll be a lot of fun activities for everybody, and really look at what's new downtown. As you've probably have heard, we have several new buildings that will be starting downtown this year. Streetscape is finished up. There's a lot of public art that maybe people haven't seen, and we want people to come down and really experience all the flavors of the taste and the entertainment, but also take a look at downtown and all that it has to offer. So that festival is important on several different levels.
So is that usually a big draw also economically for the city? Do you have a lot of people spending money? And how many people are you expecting to kind of bring in and introduce to Lafayette?
Well, you know, they get anywhere from 30,000 to 40,000 people that come to the taste. Some of those will be longtime Lafayette residents. Some of those will be new people that are coming in from different communities or from the outlying areas. And so you're kind of touching a lot of different lives. So we want them to come down, obviously, and support, because it is a fundraiser for TAF, which is an important piece. We know that arts and culture in our community, whether it's the performing arts, musical arts, all the different mediums that you have is an important piece of quality of life and economic development. So we certainly want to do everything we can to support TAF and to support that art scene. But then again, just that, you know, overall sense of community too, and the quality of life as we look to attract people to live here in the community, to work, to fill the many jobs that we have and the job expansions that we have. You know, those festivals help play a role in that and building that sense of community.
So is there any way to track what kind of money is spent outside of Taste of Tippecanoe? Is there any way to kind of tell, maybe from talking to business owners around the area, if they are making more money from kind of around the time frame that this festival
is?
Well,
I mean, you know, that is a little bit hard to tell because with everything, there's challenges that come along. So we have to block off a lot of streets to have those festivals, which cut down access to some of those businesses at different times. I think where you see that, if you don't see that on the night of the event, is again that you hope by continually introducing new people to downtown that they come back over time. And I think not only the festivals, but the other things that we have done downtown, I think that's working, because as you look at the downtown nightlife and you look at how the restaurants are doing, how the bars are doing, different things like that, you will see that has continued to grow. So I think that works in the long term. I'm not sure how you measure that on that specific night. I mean, I suppose we could go business to business and just kind of ask them. But I think the bigger picture and then the most important story is, how does that translate into future customers over a long-term basis continually coming to downtown? So we have those volumes. And again, doing those things downtown that make people want to live downtown. And with the buildings that we talked about that are going to be starting, and of course the Mark, the new $26 million building downtown, they're going to begin leasing in July, and they have a waiting list for those. You probably saw in the media that the old Journal and Courier building and the Painter's building right beside that, those units are becoming available. So we're going to have, you know, approximately 160 new units come online for downtown here in the very near future. And that's a good thing, because that density, so you have those people that live downtown on a continual basis, and the people you can bring downtown, those all play an important role in how vibrant of a downtown that you have and how those businesses can survive.
So you have a law enforcement background as well. Can you talk a little bit about kind of the safety precautions you have to take when you're expecting a whole rush of people in a short amount of time?
Well, you know, it's considerably different than it used to be. I mean, kind of, I guess, refer to the old days. Well, you know, there would be festivals and different things, and they'd hire X number of policemen. We have a few firemen around, maybe an ambulance. And, you know, that was kind of the extent of it. There was a presence. We'll use that terminology. There was a presence, but there wasn't near the organization that it is today. So every large event, festival that we have, or large event, has to have a plan. The police department, the fire department, many times working with TEMA and the ambulance service and all of the emergency services, we actually have a plan. So we know where the ingress and egress points are, what evacuation plans will be, how we handle a storm, how we handle lightning, how we handle some type of other disaster or incident that might occur. And each event actually has a plan like that for that individual event. And a lot of that came about too, you know, after the tragedy at the State Fair with the collapse of the stage and the mass exodus of the people during that concert and some of those things that happened. You know, there are some actual laws and requirements of certain things that you have to do. So there is extensive planning for any large event that takes place in downtown, where we have all those parties that would be involved around the table at the same time, and we actually put it on paper. So you've probably seen in the recent future with some of the unfortunate things that have occurred around the country, you know, we've even upgraded the way we do security. So you probably saw at the Christmas parade, where we used to just use barricades in a lot of places, now we had our different trucks that we have actually creating barriers besides the barricades. We use police cars in different ways, even at the Moseys now, to create different barriers besides just the wood or water barriers that we use. And so you've began to see those enhanced security measures that we've done here and greater use of law enforcement as far as observing and spotters and things like that to make sure we're staying on top of things. There's no, you know, we've learned, unfortunately, from the tragedies around the country, there is no plan that can prevent everything that happens, but you want to do everything that you can to minimize the risk of that happening, and then being able to maximize your response in the most effective way to make that incident as minor as possible.
So I want to talk about another festival coming up this summer, Riverfest. You've mentioned before that you'd like to fill the gaps left by the absence of the Dancing in the Streets and the Uptown Jazz and Blues festivals. So how is that going right now? What's that going to look like?
You know, it's going really well, Charlotte. Thanks for asking. I mean, we did talk about that on the show before, that, you know, for two reasons. One, the river is incredibly important. We all know that the development of particularly the urban core of the Wabash River Enhancement Corporation is working on is important to the stability of Lafayette and West Lafayette as we look to retain talent, create quality of life, world-class amenities, keep people here in the community. The development of that riverfront is incredibly important. And we spoke about it before, that as Mayor Dennis and myself, you know, look at our communities. We both serve on that board. You know, we're working to create a downtown between the two cities that people would feel in like they're in this larger metropolitan downtown with a lot of activities, a lot of ability to go back and forth, lots of things to do. But then at the end of the night, you go home to two pretty, you know, smaller communities that still have that really high quality of life that we all want. And so bringing attention to the river through Riverfest is important as we look to gain that public support. We get the word out of how we're using the river. Riverfest plays an important part in helping to spread that message. And so this year, you're going to see a lot more. You're going to see some of the traditional things with the booths that talk about environmentalism, conservationism, the river itself, lots of activities such as face painting and games and pony rides, a lot of things for families and young children. But then you're going to see a graduation up to things for young adults, millennials, seniors with a lot of different music. We're going to have a beer garden. We're going to have that zip line again. We're looking at sand volleyball. I think the contract is final. I hope with the Flying Toasters, that band to kind of be the highlight band of the evening. And then that will go right into a mosey down Main Street that night. So we're working to grow that into really a substantial festival. You know, some of the other festivals, we felt like Greater Lafayette Commerce was in charge of those, but we all agreed that they had kind of ran their course. And you have to continually change, right? If you're not changing, you get left behind. We have to continually see what the community wants and what best facilitates the growth of our community. I'd still like to see some kind of music festival maybe come back to downtown, not just jazz and blues, but some type of music festival, add that piece in there. But I think people are going to, you know, knock on wood that the weather cooperates with us and the river's the right height for the canoe races and all the activities. But I think people are really going to enjoy the Riverfest, and it's going to turn into a large festival for us.
If you have a question for Lafayette Mayor Tony Rozworski, you can call it in at 765-496-1999. You can also send an email to ask@wbaa.org or tweet your question at WBAA News on Twitter. So we've talked about this a lot on the show, but a couple months ago, a master plan for the Five Points neighborhood was unveiled. That's the area between downtown Lafayette and Columbian Park, where a few development projects are already underway. So what is the goal for Five Points? What do you want that to look like?
Well, you know, we really would like to see Five Points be an extension of downtown and then tie in a strategic way to that Columbian Park neighborhood and kind of bridge that gap between a significant park for us and green space area in our community with the Columbian Park, Oakland neighborhood there. So it would kind of be that bridge. As you know, if you look through downtown, you look at the developments and you look at the work that's moving towards Upper Main, we would like to keep going up that Main Street hill, that South Street hill, tie that Five Points in to downtown with that linkage to the Columbian Park neighborhood and the amenities at Columbian Park and make it much more walkable and bikeable and a place where people could enjoy those different amenities. I mean, think about it. What a cool place to be where you literally could walk downhill. Now, I know when you go back, you're going to be walking uphill, right? But still, where you could walk downhill on cool sidewalks or bike, enjoy downtown, live in the Five Points area, literally turn and go the other direction when you want to do things, and be in Columbian Park with the water park, the zoo, the playgrounds, the work that we're doing on Memorial Island, the new baseball stadium that we're going to be working on. What a really cool place to be. And we want that area to have that feel, but also to bridge that gap between that Columbian Park and Oakland neighborhoods and the near downtown, the north end of downtown.
That's an interesting point. Do you feel that maybe Lafayette is somewhat fragmented in that sense, where you've got kind of these hot spots of development and then kind of a long stretch of residential or underdeveloped space? Are you working on making kind of that metaphorical bridge of a complete picture?
Yeah, I think that you phrased that very well, and that's what that Five Points plan is doing, along with the other redevelopment plan that we're doing in town, downtown also. Now, right now, we're working with MKSK at all the available parcels that are still downtown, whether it's vacant lots, whether it's parking lots that could have a higher and better use, whether it's structures that maybe aren't in the best condition that could be torn down or maybe rehabbed for higher and better use. So that study is underway right now too, and that will link directly into our over downtown development plan, and then into the Five Points redevelopment plan, and into the Columbian Park 5-year master plan. So you're exactly right. We're building synergies and connection points between those plans to tie all that area together, and that works along with our trail master plan and our overall bike pedestrian plan that we have in place now, that creates those linkages between places where people live, where they work, where they play, where they entertain. And so, you know, yeah, we're doing all of that right now. We're very fortunate because, you know, we're still growing. We have lots of jobs here. You recently saw the announcement of the $73 million upgrades to Caterpillar and the additional jobs that they're going to be hiring. You know, it's a very robust economy. And so we have people looking to invest. We have probably at this point have more folks from Indianapolis and other cities looking to invest in our community developers than maybe that we've ever had. So this is a perfect time to bring those together, aid them in those development opportunities, and capture this momentum that we have.
Can you tell us anything right now about potential investors in the Five Points area?
I can tell you that I have met with a group of investors, some local and some out of town, that wanted to sit down with the city. They saw the plan. They do have interest. They wanted some additional information. I mean, I can't guarantee where it will go or if it will go, but I can tell you that study and that plan has generated interest, where we have already had meetings with developers that are taking a look at it.
So what about the existing businesses, especially in that area? They're, you know, convenience stores or dollar stores, just little local businesses like that. Is there any plan for those?
Well, you know, this is going to be a private development as these take place. The city of Lafayette is not going to go in and try to buy anybody's property, take anybody's property from them. This will be a process where private developers work with each other, and business owners and landowners in the area who might want to sell, who might not, who might want to be part of the development in some way, to piece that development together. The city could play a role financially when it comes to helping create parking, realignment of roads, creation of green space, sidewalks, bike lanes and things like that, trees that we would want that would enhance those projects. So the city might play a role, but the city is not, you know, if somebody's mind is not at ease, we're not going to go in there and use eminent domain to take somebody's business away from them.
We've got about 10 more minutes left on the show with Lafayette Mayor Tony Rozworski. There is still time to call in your question at 765-496-1999. John called in just before the show and wanted to ask about downtown. This is a two-part question. First, he wants to know what steps the city is taking to make sure that all of the downtown space is being used most effectively. He specifically brought up making sure there aren't abandoned buildings or anything that's not being used downtown. So how would you address that?
Well, I would go back just a little bit to my answer just a little bit ago, that we are under contract right now with MKSK, who is evaluating all kind of the empty lots downtown, the buildings downtown, even parking lots that might have a higher and best use, putting that comprehensive plan together of what's left. Because the other part is there is not a lot left. I mean, if you look at the parking lot just west of City Hall, we've already announced that that's going to be developed into what's called Star City Crossing, really cool multi-use development of parking, commercial, and living. The Nova Tower that's going up on 4th Street has submitted their plans to the engineer's office. The brownstones are underway on 4th Street also, and we are, as I said, not just in Five Points, currently talking to other developers about downtown. The Mark building, as we indicated, will open in July. The old Journal and Courier building is nearing completion. And so there is all the Centennial townhomes are sold now. So there is a lot of interest in downtown. And we're also, as we're doing that, we're looking at development standards. We're in a position where we just don't have to take everything somebody wants to do. We want it to be at a certain quality and a very high level, and look at development standards and what we want as far as brick on the outside and different things like that. So we're doing all of that now to ensure that not only do we get development, but we get the high quality development that we're looking for.
The other part of the question was, and I thought this was interesting in kind of a downtown context where you want to have a lot going on. This listener said that the noise level has seemed to increase as the years go on and maybe even getting too loud. Do you have any thoughts on how to balance that?
Yeah, I mean, that's always a challenge in an urban landscape, in an urban downtown, because we want there to be concerts, we want there to be bands, we want there to be music, we want there to be shows, people sit outside and dine and listen to music, and so that noise level will continue to increase in some way. But we do work on timing of shows and placement, different things like that, to try to be sensitive to that, although we cannot totally control all of that, and that's kind of an evolving process that you kind of have to work through kind of each month, each year, and you keep doing it. And hopefully, as I said, the quality of these businesses and buildings that are being built will be as such that we'll keep some of that noise out. Like I said, we want those quality, because I know people, again, it's that double-edged sword. You want to be able to walk out, go to your restaurants, go listen to your music and do those things. But then when the day's over, you want to be able to go back and have some peace and quiet and privacy, even if you're in that urban core. And so we talk to developers about that as they're developing, and they understand that too, because, like the Mark, they're investing millions and millions of dollars in that building, and they've got to make sure people want to live there and stay there.
All right, we've got another listener question about something that we talked about around Five Points, that convenience store, the dollar store over there. They would like to know your take on the police presence in that area. According to the city's crime statistics, there are many police calls over to those businesses or around their parking lots. How does that make you feel about the area in general? Do you feel like as a city there's anything you can do?
Oh, I mean, there are certain pockets of the community. We know that crime is down 20% over the last 2 years. We're making great progress and we're going in the right direction, but there still are pockets. And, we looked at that as part of that Five Points redevelopment program on how do we help turn some of those properties that, quite frankly, we have some landlords in there that probably aren't doing the right thing with screening tenants and keeping their properties in the condition that they should. The ironic thing is at 14th and South Street, right in the heart of that neighborhood, is the police training center. I mean, there are literally policemen in and out of that neighborhood every day going back and forth to that police training center. I mean, 50, 60 policemen may go in and out of there a day that drive through those neighborhoods going to that police training session. So there is a police presence there, but We need the community to continue to call in those incidents when they're happening. Let us try to identify those people. Let us try to make progress in those areas if we know those things are happening. But again, I think as we look at the development opportunities and we make some changes there, you know, it's kind of like a lot of places. We could probably get 10 properties in a several block area, and if we could get new owners, people doing different things with them, probably 80% of your police calls would drop.
So I want to pivot now to Loeb Stadium, which is near that area as mm-hmm. well. The multi-million dollar revamping starts next year, but meanwhile, there was recently an announcement that Loeb Stadium will host a tournament coined the Greater Lafayette World Series. Can you kind of tell us how that came to be?
Well, you know, we've talked. It's first of all, just for your listeners, and I know I got to talk fast. The stadium is in going into detailed design. It's moving along very well. In fact, at the end of 2018 in September, you'll see your first little bit of we're going to be moving all the water lines, all the sewer lines, burying all the stormwater lines, all the electrics, and creating the stormwater retention area to get a jump on that construction. So in 2019, at the end of that season, we can really go into that, the actual building of the stadium. So, you know, we're looking, people involved with baseball are, you know, and that's a private group that's putting that together. They're looking at what different options are out there to bring baseball to Lafayette, to Loeb Stadium, as we're kind of in this holding pattern just a little bit, but we're exploring what options might be. So when the new stadium is done, I think it's going to open up a tremendous amount of doors for us, and what we can do there and what is the best fit for our community and how we can do multiple things there. Because since it's artificial turf, we can play game after game after game, day after day after day. We're going to be able to do things there, host tournaments, multiple tournaments that we simply can't do now at Loeb because of the grass. One, it won't hold up for that many games. And two, the structure itself is just not conducive to moving people in and out and the concessions that you need. So this tournament's just another step in baseball groups looking at, you know, getting a feel for what might be viable and how are we ready when the new stadium is done and we can take advantage of all that stadium's going to bring to the community.
So one thing that I was noticing, especially with all of these events, you've got Taste of Tippecanoe, Wabash River Fest, which is growing now, the Greater Lafayette World Series. Are we about to
see Beers Across the Wabash? Don't forget Beers Across the Wabash.
How could I?
Yeah.
So are we seeing this kind of wave of really branding these events to the area that they are in? I mean, are we trying to have maybe more name recognition for Greater Lafayette with all of these things? Are we home growing our own traditions?
Well, I mean, you know, we certainly want to do two things. One, you do want to home grow traditions that mean something to the people that currently live here, and it builds that sense of community, that sense of family, that sense of we're all in this together, we're pulling on the same side of the rope, and plus it's just a fun, good place to live. So you absolutely want to do that. You want to sink those roots deep for the people that are here for generations, if we can do it. And then, but also you do want to be able to market yourself to the globe, right? We compete in a global economy for jobs, for talent, for keeping the businesses that we have here, helping them expand. And so we want those things that we can put out there that, you know, really says to people, this is a great place to live. When you look at, you know, Lafayette, West Lafayette, Tippecanoe County, all of it has to offer with Purdue, our advanced manufacturing, the school corporations, we, with all the things we're doing, we're sending that message. This is a great place to live, to work and to play and to start a business.
All right, that's all the time we have for today. Mayor Rozwarski, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Charlotte.
You can find this program at our website, WBAA.org, along with the shows with the mayors of West Lafayette, Crawfordsville, and Frankfort. Thanks so much for listening, and have a great rest of your day.
Support for WBAA comes from your membership and Encompass Credit Union, supporting Ask the Mayor and offering a full line of financial services to the people of Clinton and Tipton counties while supporting the communities they serve. More information at EncompassCU.org.